Welcome to another opportunity to study the Word of God with us today. We'll look at the Word in a moment, but before we do, let us bow our heads together and ask God to help us in our study of the Word this moment. Our God, we thank Thee once again that we can come to You in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that Thou wilt hear us, Thou dost hear us, and that Thou wilt grant to us the petitions which we desire of Thee. We ask Thee then to guide and direct us today, to meet our individual needs as Thou dost see them to be, and give us understanding of Thy Word, that we might be able to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we pray in Jesus' name, Amen. Will you open your Bibles, please, if you are able to at the moment, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. We are studying together the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ as it applies to us as individuals. We have found that the devil tempted Adam and Eve, and he tempted the Lord Jesus Christ in exactly the same way, and he tempts us in the same way as well. There are three basic temptations which include every particular temptation which Satan might bring into your lives. We learned from referring to the first epistle of John that the temptations are built in three areas, or are presented in three areas: the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have noticed, dealt with the temptation, the lust of the flesh, answering it with the Word of God, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." He dealt with the second temptation, connected with the pride of life, in exactly the same way, but he had to know the Word, because Satan even brought the Word into the temptation itself. And that is one thing that we must learn, that Satan does quite often quote the Word as a weapon against our trying to take our stand for God. And now today, we want to notice with you the third and the last temptation which the Lord Jesus Christ faced. Will you notice Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 again? "The devil taketh Jesus up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written..." There's that precious phrase again. "It is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." Here is the climactic temptation for the King of Kings. It is the lust of the eyes. What was it Satan said to him? "Look with your eyes, behold the kingdoms of the world. I will give them all to you." Well, true. This was a physical temptation. It was a temptation to have in his hand what he saw with his eye. But again, greater than the physical temptation was the spiritual temptation. Because what Satan was offering to the Lord Jesus was a shortcut to victory. And therein lies the insidiousness of Satan's approach to the believer. What could be more wonderful than for the Lord Jesus Christ to have control of the whole world? He wouldn't have to go to the cross. He wouldn't have to suffer. Satan said, "Here it is. The world would be better off if you had control of it. You bow down and worship me, and you will have control of it." But the Lord Jesus Christ was not going to fall into the temptation of a shortcut to victory. And I use that phrase, a shortcut to victory, because you see, God had already promised that after the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, died and was raised again, and sat down at his right hand, and waited a certain period of time, he would give him all the kingdoms of the world. God had made that promise to Jesus Christ. Now, God hasn't fulfilled that promise yet. It's been over 2,000 years, and that's a long time. The devil said, "Jesus, if you will fall down and worship me now, this very second, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world right now." Now, I've heard preachers say, "Why the old liar? That's just like the devil. He couldn't have done it." Oh, yes, he could have done it. Because in the account of these temptations that is printed in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 6, the definite statement is made, "And all these things are mine to give you." The devil could have given him, right then, the kingdoms of the world if he had fallen down and worshipped him. For the devil is indeed the prince and the power of the air. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11, we are told that the prophets said that they read, they studied, they wrote about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they couldn't understand the sufferings and the glory that should follow. Oh, they could understand the glory, but they couldn't understand the suffering. Friend, sometimes you and I are prone to forget that. When you have time, read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. We are reminded there that if we reign with him, and that's what we'd all like to do, isn't it? If we reign with him, we're going to have to suffer with him. That's God's order. There is no shortcut to victory. You, as an individual, I, as an individual, need to realize that Satan is constantly tempting us to take a shortcut. You know what God's will is for your life, and God has something planned for you. Satan doesn't tempt you to commit adultery. He knows you're not interested in that at the moment. But he does say, "Why not drop out of this, and why not drop out of that? Why not drop out of school and do what you want to do right away? I can show you how to do it. A shortcut to victory." That's the temptation, and you'll have to apply that in many different areas in your life. For truly, the devil does offer those shortcuts. Friend, let me suggest to you that you determine in your mind, first of all, what God's will is. Through the Word of God, discover what it is, then pursue it, and don't let the devil tempt you into shortcuts. You know, there are a lot of girls and a lot of boys that think they're not going to get married, and the devil tempts them to take a shortcut. Don't wait on that man that God has for you, God says. Or the devil says, rather, don't wait on that man that God has for you. Don't wait on that woman that God has for you. Don't wait. Take a shortcut. God hasn't brought that man, that woman into your life, and he probably won't, so don't wait. Take a shortcut. And so the devil brings into contact with a young lady, some young man that sweeps her off her feet. And the devil said, "This is it. This is the real thing. Take the shortcut." I believe the divorce courts of our land are busier than they need to be because people have taken shortcuts and the devil has convinced them to do it. Now, one last suggestion. The defense which the Lord Jesus Christ offered this time was the same as always. You can't get away from the defense. It is written. And this time, he quoted from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 13, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." You know, if you could get a few things in your mind settled, the battle would be so much easier. I want you to notice something. The Lord Jesus Christ did it with this temptation that he didn't do with others. He rebuked Satan. Did you notice what he said? "Get thee hence, Satan. Stop bothering me." Now, May I remind you that you must never do this. Get behind me, Satan. Get away. I say, you must never do this. And in this day when a great many people are emphasizing the fact or the idea that we have a right to order Satan about, it would be wise for us to keep in mind that the Bible does not anywhere say that we should do that. True, we have been freed from the power and the dominion of Satan through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross, but we must not rebuke Satan. Only the Son of God can do that. Not even the angels dare do it. What we can do is resist the devil, and we can resist him with the Word of God. If you rebuke him, you may find yourself in trouble, because there is no match for him among humans. Well, there's a sequel to this story. The sequel is found in the Gospel of Matthew. It's found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 13 as well. In the Gospel of Matthew, we are told, the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. But what does Mark 4, 13 says? It says, he left him for a season. And I call that to your attention because we would love to dwell on Matthew's account that the angels came and ministered to him, and oh, they did. And how gracious God is to minister to us in the hour of loneliness and the hour of temptation. But Mark gives us this additional information. He left him for a season. You see, my friend, you can never win a battle and say, let's throw away all of our arms. We're never going to have to fight a battle again. That never happens. If you've won a victory over the devil, I'm grateful to God that you have. But let me remind you that he will be around again before too long. So keep the sword of the Lord sharp. That's the word of God, of course. Keep the sword of the Lord sharp so that you will be able to withstand the wiles of the devil, and as the scripture says, having done all to stand. Time is gone, and we must leave you again. Remember to pray for us, and may God bless each one of you today.